Okay, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for being so faithful to us. Thank you that that you fulfill your promises. And as we are approaching Easter this Sunday, Lord, I just praise you. I praise you for the work you've done. I pray that it would, Lord, just to the depths of us, call us to worship you. And call everything around us and all creation to worship alongside us, to praise you. Lord, because if we don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. But even if we cry out, the rocks will cry out, God, because all of creation is groaning, Lord. And we groan, Father, for your second coming. We pray, Lord, come quickly. Jesus, come quickly. God, we desire to be with you. And we desire to be made fully whole, not just one foot in heaven and one foot out, God, but we desire to be there at your throne, praising you without distraction for eternity. So God, I just pray that in light of your work on the cross, in light of the future glory we have with you, God, that you would empower us to see and illuminate your word to us. God, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for being the only source and satisfaction for our souls. Lord, I pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth, Lord, would be not only acceptable but pleasing to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 103, let's go there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God. Everybody on your feet. We are going to sing the doxology, okay? And a call to worship. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Have a seat. Okay, ladies. Does that stir your blood? Does that stir you to worship? Let's talk about what it means to bless. Okay, the meaning of blessed here in this text literally means to bend the knee. What on earth does that mean? To bend the knee. Well, we see in Scripture all over the place two kinds of blessing that happens. We see blessing that comes from God to man. Well, actually three. Blessing from God to man. Blessing, right, or blessing from man to man. And then we see blessing from man to God, okay? Now, what does it mean for God to bless man? Well, that is, and these are in my words here, going to be defined, a giving or gifting of benefit and gain. Now, when man is blessed by God, man is always benefited, always leaves better off. He always leaves strengthened or helped, or all three. So we are always benefited by being blessed. But what does it mean for man to bless God? Well, the definition of that is going to be an expression of praise with thanksgiving, adoration, and declaration. Now, the Old English actually, it comes from consecrate. And I thought that very interesting, to consecrate, which is a very religious old word, you know. And actually, you know, how fitting to bring up that word when we see what has happened in Paris with the cathedral, right? So sad. I won't even get into that because the kids and I had a wonderful conversation about the sadness of losing that the history and the beauty of that, but the greatness that God's work, the work of man's hands will not last forever, but the work of God's hands will last forever. But consecrate means to declare sacred, to honor, to devote, or dedicate. You know, God cannot be bettered. He can't be strengthened and he can't be helped any more than he already is by us blessing him. He doesn't need our blessing, okay? He doesn't need that. And we actually are blessed by blessing him because we were created to worship him, right? We were created to praise him and to declare and exalt him. So we are actually blessed, benefited, by blessing him, which does not benefit him any more than he already is. There is nothing we can say or do to make him better. Much like the last time I taught, we talked about, oh, magnify the Lord with me. You cannot make him any bigger than he already is, okay? He's already so big we can't conceive him fully. So you're not going to benefit him by your praise and worship. But we do know that we are called to bless him. So they are going to be three words that we're going to kind of think about here when we're thinking about blessing the Lord. And that is praise, worship, and consecrate. Now, this is my Spurgeon quote for this morning. And this is, if God never ceases to give good things, then we will never cease to praise him. What a thought. You know, all of Psalm 103 is just a praise of who God is, what he's done for us, what he's done for the world, and who he is. And that's never going to cease to be. So our praise of him is never going to cease to be. So in other words, get used to it. You're going to do this for eternity, right? And that should stir our blood. Our worship here is just a foreshadowing of the eternity that we are going to spend with him. I mean, he has entire creatures that all they do is sing holy, holy, holy at his throne, right? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So I want you, as I'm talking about these three words, I want you to think of your heart and think of what your heart blesses. Is your heart doing these three things? Which they're all kind of, they overlap and they're all kind of the same thing, interchangeable. Does your heart do these things, and is it stirred for God? Is it stirred for man or created things? Now, praise. This is the definition of praise here. It's an enthusiastic expression of admiration and approval. And worship is to render reverent honor, is to pay homage, to devote or dedicate. And consecrate, like I said, is to declare sacred, to honor, to devote, or dedicate. And I'm sorry, worship is to, let me go back, I mixed up my, dropped a sentence down. Worship is to render reverent honor, pay homage, and or feel an adoring reverence. Now there are different types of ways that we worship. In different ways that we're called to worship. This is not an exhaustive list that I'm about to give you, but it's something to think about. Your life is a worship, right? The dedication and the pursuit of it, and what it's dedicated to and what it's pursuing, is an act of worship. Service is an act of worship. When you serve, you're paying homage to whatever you're serving. Or serving for. And the attention that it takes to serve. And then singing, right? We tend to put singing or those acts of worship, like singing, we call it praising, right? For some reason, that's what we label it as, praising. And that is a declaration and expression. And it's done either personally or corporately. Now, worship in Psalm 103 is an all-being activity. The worship we're talking about, at blessing the Lord, he's calling his entire being. It's not just with his lips. If it were just with his lips, we could call it lip service, right? He's saying the right things, singing the right words. Now, it's not just with his mind either, because if it was just with his mind, he wouldn't call his soul to worship with him. And if it was just with his mind, it would just be mental assent. And we sometimes do that. Sometimes we just worship with our lips, and we're just doing lip service. And sometimes we just worship with our mind, giving mental assent. And we can be doing that just by studying sometimes, right? And just doing our Bible study, you know? Studying and sometimes memorizing scripture, we're just doing it with mental assent, not necessarily with declaration as well as the inner depths of us. And he's also not just doing it with emotions, okay? He's not just feeling his praise. If he were, then he would be trying to connect with the right music, right? And he would be getting goosebumps and talking about his goosebumps, maybe, and not necessarily the other things that are going on with his mind and his lips. And then he's not just worshiping with his body here. He's not just going through the motions, right? And we sometimes do that by just coming to church, just going through the motions, or maybe just serving in ministry, and we're just worshiping just in one way. No, this is a all that is within me, praise his holy name. It's everything. Because there's really nothing wrong with praising with your lips. Actually, you need to do that. And there's nothing wrong with having mental assent. You need to praise and worship in spirit and in truth, right? That needs to be part of it. And you do need to stir your emotions. Your emotions need to come along with you and feel it sometimes. And or call it to feeling. And our bodies need to be an act of worship. It says a living act of worship, right? Your body's a sacrifice. This is your living, this is your act of worship. So what he's doing here is he is calling himself to be authentic. He's calling his entire being to get on the same page. He's basically saying, everything, come on, bless the Lord, I'm about to sing his praises, so come on, heart, come on, soul, right? Don't Don't make me not be truthful all the way. This needs to be sincere. Come with me. All of me, engage. Now, what is the meaning of soul? So, our soul is the innermost depths of our person, the center or the wellspring of man. It's really hard to define, but everybody here knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say the soul, because there's a pit, I'm going to say a pit, like the centrality of you, okay? This is a place of pondering that no one knows but you and God. And this is the place where expectation, aspirations, all of that is there, and no one knows it but you and God, and sometimes just God, right? This is the centrality of you. We are elated and grieved in the depths that we can't even express. We soar and we sink in these depths and we can't even express it. And we hunger and we thirst. My soul thirsts after you, right? This is the depth of us, the centermost part of us. Our soul is not seen by the naked eye, but it is manifested in our attitudes and our actions, our thoughts and our words. So he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He's calling to himself. And it really made me, what really hit me going through here, this is a happy psalm. And I'm about to get really, really, not confrontational is not the right word, I'm going to urge you right now. Because I'm a woman, and y'all are women. And I know that my heart and my soul is not always in sync. That my heart and my soul, the center of me, is not always caught up to my mind and what I know to be true. It's not always in line, right? Sometimes I have to like grab it by the collar and get it there, right? That's what David is doing here. We must stir up our inner being where our emotions and our affections and our hopes and our convictions rest. We must awaken and call to our depths to quicken and assist in our worship. We do not always feel like praising. And we do not always feel like reading and studying his word. And we do not always feel like praying. And actually, for that matter, any of the spiritual disciplines, if you're a Christian for any amount of time, a believer for any amount of time, you are not going to feel like doing this. And I kind of think of this a lot like the treadmill. You know, some of you may, this may resonate, this may not, but some of you may love to jump on the treadmill and get going, you know, but sometimes I have to like do this self-talk of like, put your shoes on, Amber, you know, get your running shorts on, Amber, and then I'm just one step closer to hopping on the treadmill, right? And then once I get on the treadmill, I'm like, the first 5 to 10 minutes of a run are miserable, right? They're just like, if I could just get to 10 minutes. And then I'm in my stride. I got my stride, right? So do you see how we have to call sometimes ourselves beyond our feelings? We got to call our heart to engage and our emotions to engage because we don't always feel like it. I know I don't. But those are the times when we need it, when we don't feel like praising God, when we don't feel like worshiping him. David did not wait for his inner being to initiate his praise. Instead, David stirred up his heart and told his soul to bless the Lord. Does this mean that we neglect these things, when we don't feel them, that we neglect these things when our heart and our soul is not in it, waiting for our heart and our soul to be in it? Do we wait to praise God? If we wait for our heart to initiate and our soul to initiate our praise all the time, we will be waiting a long time. We will be waiting a very long time. So how do we make head knowledge, heart knowledge, our obedience, our desire, and our worship our all? Now, number one, it is not A plus B equals C. God is the one who calls us to faith. He's the one who empowers us to see him, to illuminate his word to us, to reveal himself to us. It's initiated by God, and he calls us to himself. But those who draw near to God, he draws near to. So I look at what I read in Psalm 103, and there are three things that I pulled from here that David did. Now, first off, I want to tell you, when I have been in times that I'm not feeling like praising and worshiping, that I'm feeling particularly that my emotions are dry, because actually here they're not really quite sure where David was at, what was going on, but they theologians think that he was older in age, and so a lot of this makes me think that several things he says about renewing his youth and everything, that he's calling himself out of to not be bitter, you know? Like, as we age, sometimes we get cynical, and our praise becomes bitter just through experience and sourness, and it becomes hardened and stony, and our emotions disengage and become dry, okay? Now, what I've learned to do through very wise people in my life and the Lord's graciousness in my life is to pray, first off, that God will provide a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone in me. That he will help me. I love, as Sheen talked about, the prayer of help me in my unbelief, right? So we turn to God to supply the sacrifice. We need all of our being to be involved. And just because all of our being is not quite there yet, does that mean we don't go there? Well, it seems to me David wasn't all there right at that moment, so he had to call himself there. So these are the three things that I see him do, and you can split up this chapter many different ways. I've read a lot of different commentaries, and some of them split it in three, some of them all over the place, but these are the three things I see. Actually, I think I have four. I have four, and they're all in R's, and you may come up with a better word that doesn't begin with an R, but I was trying to stick to R. Okay, number one, remember. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he lists the benefits, right? He says he forgives all your iniquity, who heals, so forgiveness, right? That's number one, forgiveness. He forgives all your iniquity. I'm going to list these quickly because I'm sure most of you have already divided some of these. But the number one is remember, right? Forget not all his benefits. Forgiveness. He forgives all your iniquity. Healing. He heals all your diseases. Redemption. He redeems your life from the pit. And then crowning. And I call that consummation. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, and satisfaction. He satisfies you with good. Now, I want to point out something to you about the crowning and the steadfast love. This really encouraged my heart this week and moved me to worship, to call myself to worship, because steadfast is not just faithful. Did you know this? Steadfast is actually, because a lot of times we'll interchange steadfast with faithful, which it can be. But steadfast is actually staunch. And staunch is watertight. Do you know that God's love is staunch for those he sets it on? That it's watertight, that it's fixed? You know, I don't always feel loved. And I don't always feel forgiven, and I don't always feel satisfied. And we see the psalmist here reminding himself that he is forgiven, that he is being healed, and he is healed, that he's being redeemed, that he's crowned. and that he's satisfied. And this takes me to Revelation 2. Revelation 2, the Lord is talking to the seven churches, and he says to them, "You have forgotten your first love." And then he says, "Remember and return." So the number one thing I see here about getting all of his being to praise the Lord is he's remembering. Now, the second thing I see him doing is he's retelling. And that's where I divided that up. He's retelling of God's, basically the entire part that runs from, verse 6 all the way to, where do I have it going? Verse 10, he is retelling of the Exodus out of Egypt, and he's recounting. Now, the interesting thing, he talks about his righteousness and justice, how he made his ways known to Moses, and his acts to the people of Israel. And then he quotes in here, Exodus 34:6, he says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." And I find this beautiful because if you don't have verses that are kind of a go-to for you, that stir you, that you need in times where you're just not feeling it, and you need to be reminded and retold of the truth of God, get some. Get some verses that you can go to, that you can say to people to encourage, and you yourself can draw on. Okay, the next thing is remind. We have remember, we have retell, but then remind, I thought was that one's a little different, because the origin of remind is again, the root of it is again, and mind is to put into your mind, okay? So you're going to again put into your mind who God is, and he does this when he starts with, "Great is his steadfast love for those who fear him." And so he talks of God's love. He talks of his compassion. He shows compassion to those who fear him. His knowledge. He knows our frame. He talks of God's understanding. He remembers that we are dust. He talks of his immutability, that his steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. He talks of the Lord's righteousness to his to the children's children. And then he also talks of the Lord's sovereignty. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And the next thing he does is he recommends then. After he has remembered, he's retold, and he's reminded, he recommends. He's inviting when he says, "Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion." And I didn't fully tell you the truth. I told you I had three, then I told you I had four, but I really have five. Because he ends with a repeat. And the repeat is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So Piper says there are five stages to worship. I thought these were interesting. I want to share them with you. He says the first stage in worship is a revelation of God's glory, a revelation of who he is and what he's done. The second stage of worship is a receiving of the understanding, a receiving of understanding or comprehension, no matter how small, of God's glory. The third thing he says is a rising up of gratitude, a stirring of the depths. That's the third stage. The fourth stage is a frustration, that it's a recognition of your inadequacy and a lack of self to sufficiently praise him. And because of that, that's why a lot of times we have songs and psalms, because we just don't have the words to express our praise. And in that frustration and that recognition of inadequacy, we have to call others. Our voice isn't loud enough. We have to call others to join us. So we recruit. And the recruiting of creation is the fifth stage, is a call for others to join us. Ladies, I want you to think, are you worshiping like that? Are you worshiping like that? Okay, these are your questions for your table. And these are not Sunday school answers, just so you know. I have actually no answer for you. Nothing written in red here for this first one. Is it possible to praise God half-heartedly? And then the next cluster of questions are kind of all together. Are you in the habit of waiting for your heart or your soul to initiate your praise? And what would it look like for you to call your soul to bless the Lord? How would this change or encourage your view and practice of worship? Okay, so you guys get to talk about this. Let's pray, and then you can chat. Father God, again, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your call to worship. And God, I just pray that, Lord, that you would just move us, Lord. Call our entire being, Lord, to worship, to bow the knee, to bless you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.